Storytel presents The Knight by Margit Sandemol, part 14 in the Legend of the Ice People series, narrated by me, Mianna Buring. Once upon a time, many centuries ago, Tengel the Evil went into the wilderness because he wanted to sell his soul to the devil. He became the ancestor of the Ice People. Tengel had been promised power and wealth on condition that one of his descendants in every generation would serve the devil and do evil deeds. These descendants would be easy to recognize because of their yellow cat's eyes and magical powers. And one day a person with the greatest supernatural powers ever would be born. The curse would not be lifted until the spot was found where Tengel had buried the pot which he had used to prepare the magic brew which would summon the devil. This is what the legend says. Only nobody knows whether it is true. But in the 16th century, a cursed child of the Ice People was born. He tried to turn evil into good, which was why they called him Tengel the Good. This legend is about his family. Or perhaps it is mostly about the women in his family.
Chapter 1. And don't just stand there looking miserable, Prince Joachim of Riesenstein barked at his wife, slamming the door as he stalked out. Princess Hildegard tried to calm down after the uproar. She heard her husband's steps fading away through the halls of the Danish royal palace. Although he hadn't said so, of course, she knew that he was on his way to his latest mistress. Plenty of girls were willing. Prince Joachim could be very charming when he wanted to be. He was a younger brother of the reigning prince of the small kingdom of Riesenstein. As his country's ambassador to the Danish royal court, he was very much aware of his privileged position. Hildegard, who had been born in the Balkans, wasn't happy in cold Denmark, where chilly winds whistled around the street corners for more than half the year. However, the main reason why she was unhappy was the inner frost she suffered from. She didn't understand the language, she couldn't show off by means of her youth or quickness of wit, and she knew perfectly well what kind of shadow awaited her in the darkest corner. The court physician didn't have to tell her, she could read it in his evasive glance. True, he had carried out quite a lot of bloodletting, but it hadn't led to any improvement in her sick blood, as he called it. Hildegard walked over to the mirror, looking miserably at her own reflection. She hated her own body so much. She had never been more than quite attractive at best, but now everything seemed so bleak that all she wanted to do was weep. What was the point of dressing according to the ever more diaphanous current fashions, with a low-cut dress and pretty short silk sleeves and a delicate tulle veil, when she looked the way she did? She was 43, but had quite literally already finished with her life. She had to appear at the gala dinner this evening, but she didn't know how she was to manage it. She made another attempt to tie the emerald green dress at the waist. In vain. Her whole body had swollen up with edema. Your sick blood. The horrible bags under her eyes almost seemed to make her eyes disappear. Her feet were sore and her limbs stiff. If she pressed the skin at her wrist, the fingers would sink in, leaving a dimple that wouldn't go away. She had become unshapely, grotesque. None of her clothes fitted her any longer. Most of all, she just wanted to sleep, to be alone with her pain. But she had to stand by Joachim's side. His Majesty, King Christian V, would be very offended if anyone didn't attend on his birthday, so she had to sit there and receive the mocking, knowing looks from the ladies-in-waiting, the indifferent glances from the men, which merely swept lightly over her with pity and disgust. The princess eats too much, one of them had once said when he thought that she wouldn't overhear. She stuffs herself like a pig, and then she has to comfort herself somehow while her husband has his flings behind the lady's silk curtain. And she, who hardly ate anything. And her husband? Most of the time he acted as if she wasn't sitting next to him at the table. If he spoke to her at all, it was usually to make mocking asides. He humiliated her openly, and all she could do was give a weak smile.